It is proving God's mind. Finding the mind of God. Number two, it's preaching God's message. And number three, it's praying for God's movement. If we can get those three together, the mind of God, the message of God, and the movement of God. Sometimes we as preachers want to preach something that's, we can shout over, or something we can maybe, kind of deep scriptures and so on. And then there's other times the Lord just wants to say something common to us. And I think that's what we need. Let's all stand tonight, if you will. Turn to Philippians chapter 3, please. Philippians chapter 3. And I want you to keep up with me. I may not be real preachy tonight. I want to just speed right along and trust that when we get to the end, that the Lord will have said something. I appreciate all of you for coming. Good to see these preachers tonight, Brother Henry, Brother Robert. Good to have you all. Maybe others that I don't know, but I appreciate you being in the meeting. Philippians chapter 3 tonight. Let's begin reading the verse number 1. The Bible said, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gain to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." Father in heaven, in Jesus' name tonight, thank you for the privilege to be here. Lord, I do think that I recognize the importance of the hour. And Lord, I pray tonight, God, that You would help us. Lord, help us to be serious. Help us, God, to be serious, Lord, about what we're doing in these days. I need Your help tonight. Lord, I'm totally unable to do anything in the power of my flesh. Brother Robert was praying a while ago and how you stirred my soul about, Lord, we do meet tonight the demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God. And I pray, Lord, You'd make it real tonight in our heart. Please help me to preach, not for me. Lord, not for me, O God. Lord, but for You. Our Father, Lord, that You might receive maximum praise and glory, Lord, in this meeting tonight. I love You. I thank You, Father, for all You've done and all You're going to do. Have Your way, and I'll thank You even now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank You. You can be seated. I'm often asked across the country, not always, not by any means, all a lot of time, but occasionally, to sign a Bible. And when I sign my name, I always, after my name, I'll put Philippians 3, verse 7 through verse 14. Some of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible is recorded right here. And I was reading this again the other day in my daily devotions. And verse number 10 made a new impression, though it's been one of my favorite verses down through my Christian life. Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings been made conformable unto His death. And this thought, as he was talking about in verse number 7, what he lost that he might gain the Lord Jesus Christ. And he comes down through here and mentions several of those things. Just let me coast out a minute. I said I'll probably not be real preachy tonight. But this thought came to my mind as I read verse 10 again, that I may know Him. And here's what I want to deal with a few minutes tonight. The message itself will be very short. I'll ask you several things at the close of the message. But getting to those several things will take me just a minute. I want to deal tonight on this thought, listen closely, how far will you go to know Christ? How far will you go to know Christ? And that's slow tonight. You got to mind the Lord and take it as it comes. Let me say that introduction. I want to know the Lord. I'm saved by the grace of God, and so is Paul. What he's talking about here is not so much salvation, but it's in fellowship. In a life of communion, lived in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to make four or five or six opening simple remarks that won't seem too big, but you better listen at them. I want to say, number one, you can know about somebody and not really know them. Just give me time here a minute tonight. You know about somebody and not really know them. I know George Bush's face. I know his voice. Somebody said, you know who George Bush is? Yep, but I don't know him. I've never met him. Do you know about the Lord Jesus Christ and never really know the Lord Jesus Christ? John 17:3, in that high priestly prayer, Jesus said, and this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. You know about Christ without ever really knowing Christ. I knew about God before I ever got saved. But I sure do bless that dying. Thank God that I came not to know about the Lord Jesus, but I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we must move on in a hurry. Let me say secondly, you can actually know somebody and yet not know them very well at all. I mean, I know these seem so simple statements that the devil even spoke to me coming there and said, you're going to preach so simple tonight that they ain't going to get nothing out of it. You better listen to what I'm saying. You can know somebody without really knowing them in an intimate way. I remember, let me just say this while I'm there. Number three, if you know somebody, there was a time and a place where you met them. There's a time and a place where you met them. Your pastor here And I remember, you remember, I'm not going to ask you this, you may not remember the first time we ever met. I do. I remember the first time you and I ever met. I preached at Wayne Ormby's of the book of Ezra, and you preached after me out of the book of Hebrews on if our high priest was compassed with infirmities. That's what you preached on. Now, we did not know each other at that time. We didn't know each other. We were introduced that day. We become to know each other. There was a time we didn't know each other. Then we got introduced and we knew each other. In the last 12, 14 years, whatever that's been, we've got to know each other a little better. Now stay with me here a minute. I've got to hurry. I'm saying this. You can know somebody without knowing them in an intimate way. And that's what Paul said. I don't want to just know the Lord. I don't want to just know the Lord. I want to become acquainted with Him in an intimate way. I want to know what pleases God. I want to know what satisfies God. I want to know what God likes and what God does not like. I want to know Christ. And to say, number four, hurriedly, you can, or number five. Now, stay with me a minute, and I want to try to help you right here. I'll go on in a second. This gets a little better, I promise you. You can know, now get this. Get this. This might help some of you. You can know somebody without remembering when you met them. Now, stay with me here just a minute. That sounds funny, don't it? Now, Brother Henry, you and I have been knowing each other for 25, 6, 7 years. I hate to say this. Don't shoot me, okay? But I don't remember the first time we met. But I know this. I still know Brother Henry. Are you with me now? Are you with me now? Amen. Somebody said, I don't remember the day and the hour. It was just that I met the Lord. But I tell you one thing, friend. Thank God you still know that you know the Lord. Amen. But then on the sixth scale, you can know somebody and you can remember the time and the place and the circumstances through which you came to know them. I tell you what, I don't know exactly the day, but I remember it was on a February and on a Monday night. Thank God that I met the greatest friend that I've ever had, the Lord Jesus. I know when it was. I know where it was. I can't tell you the day. See, the devil says sometimes, I know this ain't very deep now, but that's what the Lord said, deal with tonight. Devil says to you sometimes, well, if you was really saved, you could take you back to the time and the place. And I know there's a lot of truth in that, and many others can, but some others can't really go back to that very moment and that very say, a certain so day, a certain so month. It was raining and the sun was shining and all of that. But I tell one thing, you may not remember just exactly all the facts about it, but thank God tonight you can know that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, you can think you know somebody and you only know about them and not really know them. Then you can know somebody without knowing them very well. And then you can remember when you were introduced to somebody. And then you might not remember when you're introduced to them. But I'm glad when you do come to know somebody, if you get close to them, that relationship and that fellowship grows when you get to know them. And it's impossible tonight. Listen at me, I'm preaching about as slow as I've preached. It's impossible tonight to know the Son of God and that relationship fail to increase. It's impossible. It's impossible because He lives in you. He walks in you. He talks with you. He makes Himself known. He's intimate with your soul. There's nights when I've been so depressed and discouraged and down, but the sweet rose of Sharon came by and made love to my soul and let me know another area of relationship with Him. It's not my fellowship with Him that causes the relationship to grow. It's His fellowship with me that causes our relationship to grow.
In this passage, and I wish I had time to deal with it, I don't. In this passage, in verse 1 through 3, Paul talks about, now see, Paul's spiritual perception. And I've not got time to deal with that. But he talks about how we're to rejoice in the Lord. 12 times. 12 times in the book of Philippians, he says to rejoice. I'll get to what I want to say in a minute. 12 times he says to rejoice. 6 times he uses the word joy. Sitting in a prison cell with nothing good all around him. Amen. Ready to die and lose his head on a chopped block and roll. You know what's keeping him alive? You know what's keeping him rejoicing? Thank God. He said, I want to hear in this prison cell. I want to know the Lord. Amen. It ain't you that I need to know. I need to know the Lord, he said. I tell you, knowing him, it is impossible. It's impossible to know him and not be filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. In your darkest day, there can be joy. In your saddest hour, there can be joy. In the worst day of your life, if you got a desire to know the Lord, he's unspeakable joy. Amen. He talked about his perception. He could see his state of being. He could see the safety in bewaring. He could see his state of being blessed. He said, we worship God in the Spirit. We know this. Oh, listen. I ain't going to get to my truth. I don't hurry. But he said, we know this. Salvation and knowing Christ has nothing to do with the outside man. He said, it's my spirit. It's worshiping God through my spirit. Not the Holy Spirit. God is the Spirit. That's a capital S-P-R-I-T. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. Little S-P-R-I-T. That which is born of the Spirit, capital S, is the Spirit with a little S. The Holy Spirit births the human spirit. And then when the Holy Spirit lives in the human spirit, made alive, when the Spirit of God raises up Jesus Christ, the human spirit, we worship God through the Holy Spirit when it sees Jesus Christ. Yes. Yes. Don't you listen at me. Listen at me. The acid test of Christianity is not how you dress outwardly. And understand, I have convictions and standards just like you, Pastor. Let me rephrase that and do one better. Like the Bible. That's better. The acid test, now where you go to church or believe in the King James Bible. The acid test is when Jesus Christ is magnified. Does that human spirit that's been made alive that was once dead, does that human spirit see Him and say, that's my Lord. That's my Savior. That's my bread. That's my water. That's my lily of the valley. That's my rose of Sharon. That's my resurrection. That's my life. That's my all and my everything. He's my Redeemer, my Reconciler, my righteousness, my robe. He's my remission. Amen. When He is lifted up and you can't worship, you've got a problem. We preach on the outward flesh, decorating it and dressing it right and get all of our codes and creeds and convictions, and we'll preach them and people will shout and hoot and holler and run everybody else down because they ain't dressing and doing and acting that way. And they'll get in and hoot and holler and they'll say, amen, preach it. We'll preach against the homosexuals and the ERA and the abortion crowd and they'll say, amen, preach it. Then you sing at Calvary. We sing about what Jesus Christ did for us at the cross and the warm drippings that flowed from His body to purchase the eternal salvation of ruined and lost humanity. And we sat and looked like a rock. And no matter how much God comes around, how much God moves, some people can never get in.
Never worship.
The acid test of Christianity is, can I worship the Lord Jesus Christ? I ain't even started to mount what I meant to say, but we're living in a generation that can worship an ecumenical God. They just sway with their hip huggers on. Amen. See, they're worshiping God. And that sounds good. But I tell you, friend, it's not God. It's, can you worship through the only way to approach and get access to God, that being the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Take Christ out of it, and you're just worshiping a thought about God, not a Bible God. Amen. You can't worship God apart from Jesus Christ. Amen. He talked about his spiritual perception there. A lot could be said. Look at verse 4 through 6. I'll come to the message. Not only he talked about his spiritual perception, he talked about his special privileges. He said, not as though I've got any confidence in my flesh. He begins to talk about the things in his flesh that could have been advantageous to him, but yet he comes to realize that fleshly advantages has nothing to do with knowing the Lord Jesus. Y'all getting quiet on me. He talks first of all about his birthmark. Circumcised. I ain't got time to go through all this. Circumcision was the outward sign of an inward acceptance of God's covenant. All males had to receive it, accept it, and have it performed upon them. It was an act of unbelief and stubborn rebellion against God. He says, I've got the right human birthmark. Outwardly so, I've been circumcised. Many think outwardly so because they've got baptism, church membership, all of the other outward performances and legal dotted I's and legally crossed T's, and they think that that's going to gain them some kind of acceptance with God. But Paul's saying, hey, none of these things are going to help me know Christ. He talked about his birth. Not only his birthmark, his birth. He said of the stock of Israel, he's got the oracles of God, the promises of God, the covenants of God. He's got all kinds of ways and means all around him that he said, I could know Christ. Just stay with me now. It's going to get quieter. He's got the right belief. He said, I'm a Pharisee. Look at me now. Y'all stay with me. How many's listening at me? Y'all back there in the back hear me well. He's got the right birthmark, circumcised. The right birth of the stock of Israel. He's got the right belief. He's a Pharisee. Pharisee believed the Bible. Stay with me now, this ain't shouting. He believed in hell and heaven and the blood atonement and the Levitical order, the sovereignty of God, the sovereignty of the nation of Israel. He believed every doctrine of the Bible that you and I believe, that he was lost as a June bug in a hailstorm. He had not one ounce of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, but he's got all the outward ways. He's got the right birth. He's got the right birthmark. He's got the right belief. The Pharisees are the most religious and sanctimonious and elite and educated and cultured of that day. He's brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. I'm going somewhere. He had the right burden. He said concerning zeal, persecuting the church. That word zeal speaks of his energy and effort that he put forth in his religion. And then he had the right behavior. He said it's concerning the law. I was blameless. I believe he lived right. I believe he did. But one day, the Christ of glory came to him. He said, Paul, I got something I want to show you. Here's your religion and your righteousness and your birth and your belief and your burden and your behavior and your birthmark. Here all of it is. Looks pretty heavy, don't it? Looks like if religious advantage will get any man to heaven, Paul's got a good ticket, glory. But he said, now, Paul, I want to show you the Christ of glory. I want to show you a true righteousness. I want to show you a true life. Paul looked at him. He said, Christ and the cross for my religion and my righteousness. And he said, nothing over there would ever compare with what's over here. And he said, all of that is but done. And I count it all loss. All of my burden, all of my belief, all of my behavior, all of my birth, all of my birthmark, every bit of it's like manure. And I believe I'll just give it all up to win Christ. You know, we could preach there a long time under about any of that, but he talked about his special privileges. But notice in verse number 7 through 14, I told you I'd lay a foundation and come to the message real quick and be done. Paul's sound preferences. He said it's all done. I've got to think about this today, Brother Barry. I'll come in a minute. I'm going to put several questions to us and be done here in a few minutes. I told you I wouldn't be as preachy as I normally am. I thought about dung in the Old Testament. Anytime dung come near to the things of God, God required two things to be done with dung. One, he said, you bury it. And two, you burn it. And he is showing us that self-righteousness and religion is like dung that only be buried in the grave and burned in hell. Amen. He's talking about his special privileges, his spiritual perception, but his sound preference, how he chose Christ. He said, number one, he forsook all for Christ. He gave up his position, his popularity, his pleasures, his plans, his privileges, his parents, and his prosperity, that he might gain Christ. And that's what all of us have a choice to make. Are we going to forsake this world and our religion that we might gain Christ? He said that we might, what he forsook. He talked about, number two, what he might be found in. That would be found in Christ. All right, I'm not preaching the best I ever preached, but listen to me tonight. Listen to me tonight. I want to be found in Him. I'm telling you, friend, when this thing's over, I want to know that I'm found in Christ. Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. He said, I'm willing to forsake my self-righteousness and my religion that I might forsake and be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you in Christ tonight? Are you in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things have passed away and all things have become new. Look at this verse. 1 John 2, what is it? 3, 2, 2 and 3. 2, 2 I think it is, and 3. He said, and we do know that we know Him when we keep His commandments. How much truth did it know He was back there? And he that saith he knoweth him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. He said you can profess to be in him, but the way you can know that you're in him is that you're a new creature and you're keeping and desiring to keep the Word of God. Be found in Christ. Now, I want you to listen to me tonight. You can be a church member, a preacher, a deacon, a preacher's wife, preacher's son, a deacon's wife, deacon's son, deacon. You can be a Sunday school teacher. You can be on the church 45 years and never have forsaken yourself that you might be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he mentions not only to be found in Christ and forsake, he mentions fellowship with Christ. I might have fellowship in verse 10. That I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. He said, I want a fellowship with Christ. Best definition of the word fellowship I've ever found. There's a lot of things you could say about fellowship. But the best definition I've ever found is simply this. It means a commonness or a oneness and equals. He said that I might become in an equality or equal to the mind of Christ. Well, I tell you, folks, that's not where we're living today. I'm sad to say that, but it's so true. We're not fellowshipping with Christ today. There ain't much fellowshipping with Christ today. I'm not being ugly tonight. Well, y'all know me, most of you, and you, I think you know I'm not a smart aleck. But you know you can go to church, sing, raise your hand, shout, and I'm all for that, please. I love singing that, man. That's good. And think you've got fellowship because you have a little emotional stir down at the church. What kind of fellowship you got on Monday morning? When you go down the road, what kind of music do you turn on? I tell you, folks, listen, I don't know how to say this. God help me. I'm not preaching real fast, but listen to me. The greatest times of my life, my whole life, it's when I'm returning from a meeting somewhere or maybe going right by myself. I'm telling you, God, I love Him at the church. He's glorious at the church. Oh, I love Him. Praise God, friend. When you can get along, He'll come to you. He'll manifest Himself. We think God can only manifest Himself in public. And we sure need public manifestation. For as you said, the Spirit of God, the manifestation of the Spirit of God is given every man that he may profit with all. The manifestation of it. Barry talked about the difference in the presence of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit. We think the only time the Spirit can be manifested is in public manifestation, while we're in public worship, singing public songs, and praying public prayers. But how is your Christian experience out of the public? How's your Christian experience after you come home of the night and eat the supper and take the shower? That's for us, ain't it? What kind of fellowship you have? Paul said, forsaking. Paul said, be found. Paul said, fellowship. Then he uses another word. He said that we might follow Christ. Verse number 12. He said that not as though I've already attained, even were already perfect, but I follow after. Now he's following. I'm going to preach on this some of these days. I've never got God to work at my heart yet, but it's been there a long while. Look at this statement. Verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after. Notice this. If, so that means there's a possibility and there's a probability it might not be, that I may apprehend, watch this statement, look at your Bible, everybody. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Listen to this. You know what Paul said? The word apprehend means to lay hold on, to catch hold of. Are y'all with me now? I ain't preaching hard. You listen. He said that I may get hold of why Christ got a hold of me. Have you ever apprehended why Christ apprehended you?
Have you ever apprehended? Has it ever got a hold of you why Christ got a hold of you? Most folk have no apprehension of why they were apprehended. Now, don't take this out of statement, out of context. I'll make a statement about it later. But listen at me here. Are y'all with me now? I hear people say, I was apprehended that I might win souls. Well, that's not right. The reason He apprehended you is that you might know Him. That you might know Him. That you might know Him. Average person I meet today ain't got no concept of Him. He said, I follow after. I keep on trying to get a hold of it in my mind and in my heart. Why Christ apprehended me? Why did He run me down and lay hold on me? Why did He capture me? The meaning of the word means literally to capture and subdue. Why did He capture me? Why did He subdue me 29 going on 30 years ago? He captured me and subdued me that I might know Him. We all the time hear somebody say, I don't know why God saved me. He said, you better follow on till you come to get a hold of it. That above every bit of it, listen to me. I know I ain't preaching deep, listen to me. The greatest thing in God's eternal mind must be that He might know His people and His people might know Him. Jesus said, I quote it again, John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. He said, that's eternal life. That's living life at its absolute fullest, knowing and fellowshipping and communing and having things common with the God of heaven. Oh, that may not be doing nothing to you. I tell you, friend, that may not be doing anything to you. I want to know why my God laid down His life for me. Why He sent His Son from heaven, robed Himself in flesh and blood, went to Calvary, died, rose again, suffered the equivalent of a sinner's death. What did He do that for? That you might know Him. I follow after. He talked about His forsaking. He talked about His being found. He talked about His fellowship, His falling after. He said, and then there's some things I just got to forget that I might know Christ. Forgetting some things. Just forget some things. If you're going to know Christ, you're going to have to forget some things. And then He talked about there that going forth, forwarding. Look here at what He said. He talked about forsaking, finding, fellowship, following, forgetting, and going forth. That I might know Him. And in other two portions of Scripture, the whole consummation of Scripture comes down to two other things. That Christ might be formed in you. Galatians 4:19, the character of Christ be formed in you. And Ephesians 3:19, that you might know the fullness of Christ. Now, with all that said tonight, I want to ask you some questions. I'm not going to preach on them. I'm going to preach shorter tonight than I normally do. Paul did say this, you know, in 1 Corinthians 2:2 it is. He said, for I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ, Him crucified. Brother Henry, we've known each other for a long time. I count you one of my dearest, dearest friends, and that's God in heaven, my witness on that. I count you and Miss Vicki, Brother Barry, I count you all some of my dearest friends on earth. But when I first got saved, I had no concept, neither did you, about what God was up to in their lives. But I tell you, through the years, you lose track, and all the other things become as a second place to nothing just to get to know Him. Now look at me. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to close your Bible and look at me. I'm done. Virtually done. Around me, I want to ask you 10 simple questions. I'm not going to preach on them. I'm going to ask them and trust the Holy Ghost to do the work. I want to ask you 10 simple questions that I jotted down. Are you with me now?
Yes, sir.
I want to ask you, number one, how much sin are you willing to part with that you might know Him? How far are you willing to go that you might know Christ? How much sin are you willing to part with that you might know Him? Number two, how much Scripture are you willing to ponder that you might know Him? How much Bible are you willing to memorize and read and learn that you might know Him? How much separation are you willing to practice that you might know Him? Just how far are you willing to go and say, I will not let this world defile the precious Spirit that God regenerated and placed in my soul. Number four, how much suffering are you willing to permit that you might know Him? Paul said, I might know Him, the fellowship of His suffering.
Yeah.
Philippians 1:29 said, for unto you it is given on behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer. How much suffering are you willing to permit to know Him? Are y'all listening to me? Number five, how much soul winning are you willing to participate in that you might know Him? I'm going to tell you, and you listen to this, I have found that I have learned more. I'm humbly saying this. I wish I could say it, but I'm really. I have found that I have learned more about Jesus Christ in the community, trying to get people to God and listening at their problems, than I have about any other way in my life. I have learned the burden of Christ. I have learned the heartbeat of Christ by sitting and watching people's broken lives, and it puts something in me that I want to get between them and the devil and fight everything in me. How much soul winning are you willing to participate in to know Him? How much substance of your personal substance are you willing to provide that you may know Him? Great churches aren't built on spare time and pocket change. How much supplication are you willing to perform to know Christ? Are y'all with me now? I'm about done. How much time in prayer are you willing to spend to know Him? We're a generation that don't know how to pray. We don't know how to pray. We don't know what it is to get in and wrestle with this flesh till He gets out of the way. That in order that we might get a hold of God. And the mind of Christ might become our mind. All prayer is anyway is an outworking of the mind of Christ into the heart of the believer. That's all prayer is. It's an outworking of the mind of Christ into the heart of the believer. Getting our will and conforming to His will. I ask three other questions. How much strife are you willing to pardon to know Christ? How many people have hurt you that you won't forgive? You'll never know Christ till you know what it is to have your heart broken and yet through your brokenness to forgive the people that broke your heart. How many storms are you willing to pass through that you might know Christ. And lastly, how many sermons are you willing to hear preached that you might know Christ? It's been quiet tonight, hasn't it? Kind of a unique meeting. I usually preach hard and sweat, and I've sweated anyway. But I'm going to tell you what this has done to me, and I'm done. I struggle with preaching it because I'm such a sorry Christian. And I ask myself all day, preacher, it's not how much are they willing to go through. How much are you willing to go through? How much sin am I willing to part with? How much scripture am I willing to ponder? How much suffering am I willing to take part of? How many storms am I willing to pass through? How much strife am I willing to pardon? How much substance am I willing to spend? How far God made it real to me today. How far am I willing to go that I might know Christ? I'm done with this statement. Sister, y'all come to the instruments, please. I'm done with this statement. Look at me, everybody. When our life, Brother Barry, many of you ain't young as we once were. The biggest regret of my life, I'll hit 50 this year. The biggest regret of my life is that I don't know what I should know about the Lord. When I have to face Him, and He said, I give you a book. I give you the Spirit. I give you prayer. And you come up so short of knowing what you ought to know about me. And I say, Lord, you was the best person I ever heard about. You was the best thing ever happened to me. How far? Let me break it like this and I'm done. I want to magnify words. How far are you willing to go that you might know? How far are you willing to go that you might know? How far are you willing? It's a will thing. To go that you might know. How far are you willing to go that you might know? And how far are you willing to go that you might know the Lord? What tonight are you willing to lose that you might gain Christ? Let's stand and bow to prayer.